Imagine dropping $700 on the most powerful, cutting-edge gaming console ever produced. You know, you unbox it, set it up, launch your favorite game, and then discover that the graphics actually look worse than they did on the machine you bought 4 years ago.
It sounds like a bad joke, honestly. But for a very vocal segment of the tech community, that is the current reality. I mean, when you cross a certain price threshold, your tolerance for friction just completely vanishes.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You expect a masterpiece, not a beta test. So today, we are plunging into a highly explosive piece of commentary that recently hit the gaming world, tearing into that exact scenario.
Yeah, it's a fascinating read.
It really is. The source material is this massive, incredibly detailed manifesto titled Autopsy of the PS5 Pro Disaster. And the mission of today's deep dive is to explore the author's argument that the PS5 Pro isn't actually a hardware upgrade for gamers at all. Like, they argue it's a calculated marketing experiment by Sony to test the absolute limits of consumer exploitation.
And, you know, we should probably set a ground rule right here at the top. The author uses some incredibly aggressive language to make that point. Words like deception, scam, mafia.
Heavy words.
Very heavy. And we are not here to endorse that kind of corporate finger pointing. We're not taking sides, right?
Mm.
But the actual math and the technical data they use to back up that anger is just fascinating.
Totally.
We're going to break down their underlying arguments about profit margins, failing artificial intelligence, and market monopolies. That way, you, the listener, can look at the raw data and make up your own mind about what's actually happening in your living room.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand the sheer outrage in this article, we really have to start with the sticker shock.
Uh-huh.
So let's rewind to September 10th, 2024, when Sony officially announced the PS5 Pro.
Right, the big reveal.
Yeah, and the price tag was $700. And that's for a console with no disc drive and, incredibly, not even a plastic stand to hold it upright. The author points out that this is a 75% price increase compared to the PS4 Pro, which, you know, launched at $400 back in 2016.
Which is a huge jump. I mean, even if you factor in the cumulative global inflation over those 8 years, the math still makes it the most expensive console in PlayStation history.
Wait, hold on, though. Because a $700 price tag sounds wild in a vacuum, but look at the tech sector across the board right now.
Sure.
We have ongoing global supply chain issues, silicon shortages, massive inflation to manufacturing. I mean, everything from groceries to graphics cards is more expensive. Isn't this just the cost of doing business in 2024?
Right.
Calling it a scam feels like a stretch if Sony is just passing along unavoidable manufacturing costs.
And that is the logical assumption to make, right? But the author's financial breakdown completely dismantles the idea that this is just inflation at work. They actually looked at the bill of materials.
Like the actual cost of the new components inside the Pro version.
Exactly. The upgrades include a beefier GPU, an extra 2 gigabytes of RAM, an additional 1 terabyte of solid-state storage, and the inclusion of their new AI technology chip.
Basically, the shiny new selling points that justify the Pro label.
Right. And according to the source's data, manufacturing those specific upgrades only costs Sony about $165 per unit.
Wait, really? Just $165?
Just $165. However, they are charging consumers $500 more than the cost of that base hardware.
So they spent $165 on parts, but the markup on those specific parts is $500.
Yep. The author calculates a 203% profit margin purely on those upgrades. This pushes the overall profit margin of the PS5 Pro console to 65%.
Oh, wow.
To put that in perspective for you, the base PS5 only has a 40% profit margin.
A 65% margin on a physical piece of consumer hardware is massive. I mean, historically, the video game business model has always been the razor and blade strategy, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Companies sell the console at a loss or like at a tiny break-even margin and then make all their money selling you the games and the subscriptions. This completely flips the script.
It changes the fundamental economics of the console market. The article actually cites a quote from Digital Foundry, a highly respected technical analysis outlet, stating that the PS5 Pro shows Sony is no longer thinking about gamers, but shareholders.
Wow.
They called it a financial product, not a gaming product. And the author uses these numbers to argue that the price isn't about covering supply chain costs at all. It's an aggressive pivot to maximizing hardware profit.
It's a financial product.
Yeah.
That's a really heavy accusation. But okay, let's say you're a gamer who just wants the absolute best, most pristine experience possible. You might not care about Sony's profit margins if the machine delivers a flawless graphical experience.
Sure, if it actually worked.
Exactly. And that brings us to the source's most shocking claim. This expensive new tech actually makes some of the biggest games look demonstrably worse.
Yeah, you buy the Pro to get visual fidelity, and instead you get a visual downgrade.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The centerpiece of the PS5 Pro, like the reason you are supposedly paying that premium, is a new technology called PSSR. That stands for PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution. This is Sony's brand new AI upscaling tech.
Right, and for those who might not know, upscaling acts as a performance shortcut. The console renders the game internally at a lower, less demanding resolution to keep the frame rates super high.
Right, to keep things running smoothly.
Exactly. And then it uses artificial intelligence to analyze the image and basically guess what the missed pixel should look like. It scales the image up to 4K so it looks crisp on your television without overtaxing the hardware. NVIDIA has been doing this on PCs for years with a technology called DLSS, and it's basically the gold standard.
But the author likens Sony's PSSR to an alpha version of DLSS 1.0. Like, they claim it is fundamentally flawed.
Oh yeah, they pull no punches.
The article details specific high-profile game failures. In Star Wars Outlaws, players are experiencing severe visual shimmer, where the edges of objects look like they're aggressively vibrating.
It's super distracting.
Right. And in Avatar, Frontiers of Pandora, the overall image quality is noticeably downgraded and blurry. In Spider-Man 2, there is bizarre visual noise and grain invading the shadows. And in Alan Wake 2, there are visual artifacts just popping up on the screen.
And the ultimate irony here, which the author highlights relentlessly, is that in many of these side-by-side performance comparisons, the cheaper base PS5 actually wins.
That blows my mind.
I know, the older console produces a cleaner, more stable image than the $700 Pro.
But wait, if NVIDIA figured out how to do AI upscaling years ago, why is a titan like Sony struggling so badly right out of the gate? I mean, it feels like buying a high-end 4K TV only to realize it makes your movies look like VHS tapes. What is actually going wrong under the hood to cause these games to vibrate and get blurry?
Well, the author points to a massive technical clash, specifically what they call the Unreal Engine 5 problem.
Okay, what's that?
So, Unreal Engine 5 is the software engine that powers a huge chunk of modern video games. It uses highly advanced dynamic technologies for generating light, called lumen, and for generating geometry, called nanite. And Sony's PSSR algorithms clash horribly with these specific Unreal Engine 5 features.
But why do they clash?
Think of the AI upscaler, like a translator trying to instantly translate a book into another language as you read it. Usually that works fine because the text on the page is static,
Right,
right?
the words don't move.
Exactly. But Unreal Engine 5's lighting and geometry are fully dynamic. They are constantly shifting and recalculating in real time. So it's like the author on the page is changing the words while the translator is actively trying to read them.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a nightmare for the AI.
It is. Because Lumen and Nanite generate so much moving data, the PSSR artificial intelligence struggles to find stable historical frame data to base its guesses on. It gets confused, and that confusion manifests on your screen as that vibrating shimmer effect.
That structural analogy makes perfect sense. The AI is essentially hallucinating because the environment is too complex. But wait, NVIDIA's DLSS handles Unreal Engine 5 just fine on PC. Why can't Sony's tech do the same?
Well, NVIDIA's DLSS works universally because they have spent over half a decade training their AI models across thousands of different engine configurations on incredibly powerful supercomputers.
Ah, so they have a massive head start.
Exactly. PSSR is brand new. It hasn't had years of training. Furthermore, it requires game developers to manually optimize it on a game-by-game basis. It just isn't a magic plug-and-play solution.
Which means old games won't miraculously look better unless the developer decides to, spend money going back and patching them. And new games require developers to do a ton of extra unpaid optimization work just for this one specific console.
Yep. Which brings up the core question the author asks. Why release it now? Like, if the hardware clashes with the most popular game engine on the market, why not wait another year until the AI model is trained and robust?
Let me guess. They couldn't afford to miss the holiday shopping season.
You nailed it. The author concludes that Sony rushed the console out the door specifically to capitalize on Q4 of 2024. They quote John Linneman of Digital Foundry again, who states that PSSR shows Sony was in a hurry. He said they sold a half-baked technology and called it pure consumer deception.
Man, releasing rushed software is one thing. I mean, the tech industry has kind of normalized the whole ship it now, fix it later with a patch mentality. But the source material takes this a step further, right?
Definitely.
They argue that the physical hardware choices for the PS5 Pro reveal a deeper strategy to completely control the consumer.
Mm.
They call it the disk drive mafia. Like, by entirely removing the disk drive from the Pro console, the author claims Sony is executing a hostile takeover of the player's game library.
It's a really provocative label, framing a hardware design choice as an aggressive shakedown.
But, okay, I have to push back on the author here. Laptops ditched CD-ROM drives a decade ago. New cars don't have CD players. The vast majority of consumers stream their music and movies now. Isn't Sony just following an inevitable technological trend? Framing this as a mafia tactic seems a bit unhinged when you look at how the rest of the world consumes media.
The author actually addresses that exact comparison. They argue that equating a laptop to a gaming console misses the vital context of ecosystem control. On a laptop or a PC, you can buy digital software from anywhere. You can buy a game on Steam, on the Epic Games Store, or directly from the developer's website.
Right, so there's competition.
Exactly. It's an open market, which drives prices down. A PlayStation, however, is a closed, walled garden. If you don't have a disk drive, there's literally only one place on Earth you can buy a new game, and that's the digital PlayStation Store.
Where Sony sets the prices and takes a 30% cut of every single transaction.
You got it. The author outlines what they call Sony's triple strategy. First, there is the immediate profit from selling the drive separately. The detachable disk drive costs $15 to manufacture, but Sony sells it for $80.
That's a 433% profit margin right off the bat.
It is. And if you want to play any of the old disks you already own, you basically have to pay that toll.
Wow.
But the $80 is just step one. The second goal is forcing users entirely into that closed digital ecosystem, permanently eliminating retail competition from stores like Walmart or Best Buy, who regularly put physical games on sale to clear their inventory.
Which means no more bargain bins.
Right. And the third goal is the total assassination of the secondhand game market.
Hmm.
If you can't buy a used game from a friend or a local shop, you have to pay Sony's full digital asking price.
You know, when you break down the financial motives like that, the mafia label starts to make a lot more sense. It's about eliminating all secondary roads and forcing everyone into a single toll booth.
And the author highlights how this strategy created immediate chaos through artificial scarcity. Sony produced a surprisingly limited number of these separate attachable disk drives. So what happens when demand vastly outstrips an artificially low supply?
The black market explodes. Scalpers just buy them all up.
Exactly. The article provides some staggering statistics on this black market. These drives, which cost $15 to make and retail for $80, were suddenly selling for $150 in the U.S.
You're kidding.
I wish I was. In the U.K., they hit £180. 200 euros in Germany, and in Japan, a staggering 25,000 yen.
So you're paying hundreds of dollars just for the privilege of accessing media you already purchased.
Mm.
I mean, taking all this in, the massive markup on components, the rushed AI tech that actually degrades visual quality, and the calculated move to kill physical media, how does a company survive the backlash? Why wouldn't consumers just vote with their wallets and go somewhere else?
Because, according to the source, there's nowhere else to go. The answer is a complete lack of competition. The article brings in an insight from Matt Piscatella, a prominent industry analyst, who notes that when you have no rival, you can set any price.
So who are the rivals? I mean, Xbox and Nintendo are still around.
Well, the author breaks down the current market landscape to prove that Sony is basically operating in a vacuum right now. Microsoft's Xbox Series X sales are reportedly failing. They're down 30%, with Microsoft seemingly shifting their focus away from physical console hardware entirely toward cloud gaming and software subscriptions.
Okay, what about Nintendo?
The Nintendo Switch, while incredibly successful, is technically a last-generation console that doesn't compete in the high-end, cutting-edge graphics space.
So Sony's the only game in town for high-end console gaming. So what does this all mean for you, the listener? I mean, the author repeatedly calls the PS5 Pro a marketing experiment to test what gamers will tolerate. If charging $700 for unfinished AI and no disk drive is just the test, what does the final exam actually look like?
The final exam is the PlayStation 6.
Oh.
Yeah. The author argues that Sony is adopting Apple's tiering strategy. Apple normalized the idea of a standard iPhone and an ultra-expensive iPhone Pro, and Sony wants to divide the gaming market exactly the same way. The author's thesis is that if consumers willingly accept the PS5 Pro, it gives Sony the green light for an incredibly dark future.
Based on this trend, what does the source actually predict for the PS6?
They predict the PS6 will launch at $800 to $900. It will have absolutely zero physical media support, meaning not even the option to buy an attachable drive. It will rely heavily on cloud gaming and AI upscaling to cut local manufacturing costs while keeping the retail price high.
That sounds bleak.
It gets worse. It will likely feature mandatory subscription models just to access your own library, and it will involve total telemetry tracking, monitoring every single user activity to sell data to advertisers.
So it's an almost $1,000 box that you don't even really control. You can't resell your games, you can't buy used ones, and you're paying a premium for hardware that offloads the actual processing work to the cloud. I mean, that is a massive departure from just popping a cartridge into a machine.
And the author warns it won't stop with Sony. The article predicts an industry-wide ripple effect. If Sony proves consumers will tolerate these prices and conditions, the source predicts Microsoft will quickly pivot and follow suit with a $650 Xbox Series X Pro in 2025.
Oh, man.
They also predict Valve will release an $800 Steam Deck Pro, and Nintendo will drop a $450 Switch 2 Pro. The argument is that the entire industry is collectively moving toward a monopoly over quality, where companies no longer compete to give you the best technological innovation, but rather compete to see who can extract the most passive revenue through ecosystem lock-in.
Okay, let's take a breath and zoom out. We have covered a massive amount of ground today. To summarize this deep dive, we've explored an incredibly fiery perspective. The source material frames the PS5 Pro not as an exciting leap forward in gaming hardware, but as a calculated social experiment by a monopolistic company.
Yeah, a real stress test.
Exactly. A stress test on consumer patience, testing the limits of exorbitant pricing, missing hardware features, and unfinished AI software. And the most chilling part of the author's argument is that because the console is selling adequately, the experiment was a success. The market validated the strategy, signaling that the future of console gaming is going to be incredibly locked down and very, very expensive.
Right. And as we wrap up, I really want to reiterate that the tone of our source material is undeniably alarmist. The author is furious about the direction of the industry. But as critical thinkers, you don't have to adopt the author's outrage to find immense value in their data.
You're right.
The underlying numbers, the shift to a 65% hardware profit margin, the mechanical realities of why new AI upscaling clashes with Unreal Engine 5's dynamic lighting, and the undeniable market consolidation. These offer a vital lens for understanding how the tech industry operates today. Knowledge is about understanding why the market shifts. You don't have to agree that Sony is acting like a mafia to recognize that the economic model of owning digital media is fundamentally changing beneath our feet.
It's about seeing the machinery behind the curtain, you know, buying that premium product, bringing that Trojan horse into your home, and realizing you might not own what you think you own. So I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, something that builds on everything we've talked about today. If this author is right, and the entire tech industry truly moves to a purely digital, AI-dependent, and subscription-based model over the next few years, do you actually own your games anymore? Or are you just endlessly, quietly renting the privilege to play them within a closed, heavily monetized ecosystem?
It raises a profound question about the illusion of digital ownership in the 21st century.
It really does. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep reading, keep analyzing, and whatever you do, keep questioning the technology you invite into your living room. We'll catch you next time.